This morning, we continue in the series, Discovering Your Shape for Ministry. We've been learning how God has shaped us, how He's made us all for ministry, using the acronym SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E. And we have learned about our spiritual gifts. We've learned about our heart, how God has crafted our passion, our heart, and wants us to use that in ministry. We talked last time about our abilities. Now, God has given us abilities. So this week, we come to what P stands for in the word shape. We're going to look at our personality, how God has made us who we are and wants to use that in His kingdom. He wants to use that in ministry, your personality. There's a Christian blogger and author named Sky Jathani. He's very, very good. I highly recommend go online, find Sky Jathani. He's got great things to say from a Christian worldview, Christian perspective. And not long ago, he wrote a blog about his daughter. His kindergarten-age daughter had an assignment to see how many brands or logos of products she could recognize from memory. And Sky Jathani says he was astounded at how many of those brands she recognized in the house. Jell-O, Ford, Kellogg's, all these brands she had memorized. At 5 years old, she memorized these brands. And he writes that she can barely remember the names of our relatives, but she knew all the brands of the products that we use every day. Marketers are being successful, he said, in this. Did you know, in fact, that by the time a child in America turns 10 years old, studies have shown they have memorized 300 to 400 different brands and logos. 300 to 400 different brands and logos. And they have memorized them not by sitting down with flashcards, but by being around them, by your shopping habits, by what the culture is teaching them and what those commercial brands are teaching them, what they see on TV, what they see in movies, what they read. That's where they're learning these brands, and they memorize them. 300 to 400 by the time they turn 10 years old. And I would be willing to wager that very few of those same 10-year-olds have memorized one scripture from the Bible. But we sure know our culture, don't we? We know brands and we know logos, and we know that brands and logos represent products. Now, in a very similar way, we are identified by our personality. To put it that way, that's our brand. Your personality is who you are. If you don't believe me, just ask somebody to describe you, and I would bet they would not describe your outward appearance. They would describe you by your personality. They would talk about you, who you are. Your personality, because that's what we do. That's our identity. It's our personality. Our personality is significant to who we are, and for that reason, God wants us to understand that God has designed our personality in a particular way. He gave you your personality, and He designed it for ministry. There is a place for you to serve that goes along with your personality. There's a team for you to serve on that goes along with your personality, because that's how God made you. Now, the Bible does not say a lot directly related to personality. It's not as if we can open a book of the Bible and it explains personalities and tells you how to use your personality. Directly, the Bible doesn't do that. But indirectly, the Bible reveals a great deal about personality and about individual personalities. We can learn a great deal if we pay attention to the way people in the Bible behave and the way God instructs us to serve and to behave in keeping with our personality. That's what we want to consider this morning. I want you to look with me this morning at a few truths the Bible teaches, basic truths about our personality that will help us understand how to serve according to our shape, how God has shaped us for ministry. So consider these basic truths about personality with me this morning. First of all, God gives everyone personality. God gives everyone personality. Now notice I did not say God gives everyone a personality. We're not talking about that yet. God gives everyone personality, this thing called personality, which in truth is inexplicable. It's hard to understand. It's kind of a mystery to us. Here's what I mean by that. If you were to talk to an evolutionist, if you were to talk to someone that says, we came about by natural selection, they would have no answer for personality. Ask them that question. I have before. I said, well, I get what you're saying. Well, let me ask you a question. How do you explain human personality? There's no reason in the universe that evolution would have produced individual personalities let alone personality. I mean, why do we have that? There's no way to explain it from evolution, but the Bible explains it very clearly. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible talks about, in talking about our creation, the Bible says this. The book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible says, "So God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female." Why do we have personality? Because God does. We are created in the image of God, and God is a person with a capital P. He is the person. And when we were created by a God, by our God, who has personality, he created us with personality. He gave us this defining characteristic, this personhood, this personality that makes us who we are. We were created in his image. Now I want to pause for a moment because the end of that verse is important. It's not our topic, but it's important. God created them male and female. God only created them male and female. There is no confusion in the Bible about gender or sexuality. The confusion comes from us, our culture, and our sin nature. But the Bible is very clear. God created us male and female. And God created you with personality because he's a person. It reflects who he is, and you're created in the image of God. Now, personality coming from God, that gives us our explanation. But something else God did, which studies have borne out over and over, is that when God created personality, along with that, he created four basic personality types, what we might call temperament types, but four basic personality types. And when I talk about these this morning, you're going to recognize yourself in these. And it's important to understand your temperament, your personality type, because it'll show you how you're shaped for ministry. It'll show you who you get along with and sometimes who you don't get along with and all these things that go with it. But for generations, we have recognized and understood there are four basic personality types. The first person to say this was Hippocrates, the physician, the Greek physician of the 4th century. You've heard of him based on the Hippocratic Oath. He was an influential physician for all doctors coming after him. And he said there are four basic personality temperaments or personality types. And to represent these four personality types, he used bodily fluids. Like this. This is how it goes. He said, for example, blood. Blood represents a cheerful person. Black bile. Black bile represents a somber or serious, perhaps sad person. Yellow bile represents an enthusiastic, positive, upbeat person, perhaps our leaders. And then the fourth is phlegm. Phlegm represents a calm person. I don't know why, but it does, according to Hippocrates. Four personality types. Well, not long after that, those same four personality types were redefined, and the particular definition that came afterward has stayed with us for generations and generations and has been used by psychologists and researchers for generations. The four personality types, the four temperaments, as they're typically called, were redefined this way. They were named with no representation to them, but they were given these names. Sanguine. The sanguine person is optimistic and social. These are people persons. The choleric. The choleric person is short-tempered and irritable. Melancholic. The melancholic person is analytical and quiet. These are our thinkers and administrators. The phlegmatic person. The phlegmatic person, and somehow we stayed with phlegm, I'm not sure, but the phlegmatic person is relaxed, calm, and peaceful. Studies have shown this bears out. There's four basic temperaments and personality types. We all have one that's dominant. They overlap, it's true, but we all have one that's dominant. Well, a Christian pastor turned counselor turned fiction writer named Tim LaHaye took those four temperaments and taught them to Christians back in the 70s and 80s, 1970s, 1980s. Tim LaHaye, who would later be co-author of the Left Behind series, that's how many of us remember him today, took those four personality types, the same ones, and he taught them to believers. And for generations, that's how we learned about ourselves. More recently, a Christian counselor named Gary Smalley has taken those personality types and returned to them a representation that we can get a handle on. And today, if you're learning temperaments and personality types, in particular in college or in Christian ministries related to college, this is how you're learning them. The four personality types Gary Smalley represents by animals, like this. The otter. The otter represents social people. They're social creatures. They represent that personality type that likes people, a people person. The beaver. The beaver is the organizer, the administrator, the task-oriented person. Get those things done. The golden retriever. Smalley says the golden retriever has a lot of friends, is outgoing, is carefree, but doesn't like change very much. It's the golden retriever. The fourth personality type has the lowest percentage in the population, the lion. The lion makes up our leaders. Lions are the ones that forge ahead. Lions are the more dominant personalities, the visionaries that lead organizations and tell people what to do. The downside of that is typically lions are very lonely. Because whether the golden retriever likes it or not, there's going to be change. And the lion leads that change. Four personality types. And in every study, it's demonstrated, while there's overlap, these are typically true, and we do best when those four personality types work together. They might not always work together, might not always be in sync, but they do best when they work together. I think of the story of King Arthur, who had four knights that were arrested for treason. Four of his best knights, and they were all four arrested for treason. They were found guilty, and their punishment was to be execution by guillotine. Now, among these four knights, there were the four personality types. There was the lion. He was dominant. He was a leader. There was the beaver, the organizer, the administrator, the solution person that got things done. There was the people person, the knight that just liked people and wanted to talk to people. And then there was that carefree, spontaneous person that just liked to be around other people and was constantly thinking up new things to do and loved to just do anything spontaneously. All four convicted of treason, facing the guillotine. The day came for them to be executed by guillotine. The first one steps up, head is on the block. The executioner pulls the cord, and the blade stops in the middle and doesn't drop. There's a defect. There's a problem. And King Arthur steps up, and he says, "To me, this is a sign that these four should not be executed today. We're going to set them free." Well, the lion immediately responded, "I told you that we should not be executed. I told you there were greater things ahead for me." And he started to walk away and just stood there and kind of did it, "I told you so," for a few minutes. Well, the more personal knight, the one that liked people, turned to the executioner and said, "Don't worry about it, man. It's just a mistake. Everybody has problems. You're having a bad day. Everybody makes mistakes. I can stay and talk with you about it if you like. We'll just share a little. You want to share your feelings? We can do that." The more spontaneous knight was like, "Hey, this is great. I've got the day free. Y'all want to come over for a barbecue? We can play some volleyball. We'll hang out, practice our swordsmanship. This would be great." Well, in the meantime, while they're doing that, Mr. Fix-It, Mr. Management, Mr. Beaver, problem solver, is over there looking at the guillotine. All of a sudden, he says, "Guys, I think I can fix this." It's best when our personality types are in sync with each other, when everything's working together. And sometimes the reason we have problems with each other is we don't understand our personality type and how it works with other personality types. God gives everyone personality. Our job is to understand it, to ask Him what our shape is for ministry, to get to know ourselves and who He created us to be so we can plug in to ministry. That's the first basic truth. The second basic truth is that God gives everyone a unique personality. God gives everyone a unique personality. Another problem we have is often we want someone else's personality. In particular, if we just have low self-image, we just don't like ourselves very much. Maybe it's because something happened to us in the past. Or maybe we haven't understood how God made us, that God made us in His image. But a lot of times we look across the aisle and we say, "Wow, I sure would like to be like them. I'd like to be like him. I'd like to be like her." But God teaches us that He made us who we are. We need to turn to Him and say, "God, Help me be the person you want me to be. God gives everyone a unique personality. Look at Psalm chapter 139, Psalm 139. And listen to the psalmist as he considers how he was created. Psalm 139 and verse 14. The psalmist says, I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. A lot of times we translate that fearfully and wonderfully made. It's astounding to me, he means. It's a mystery to me, but I've been wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know this very well. Let me ask you a question. Are you not one of God's works? Are you not one of God's works? Of course you are. So am I. We were wonderfully made. When God created us, God designed us and he has a shape for us in ministry. Now, sin tainted your life. As a sinner, you could not plug into God's ministry the way God wanted you to. But when you came to faith in Christ, God redeemed you, including your personality, and wants to grow you to be more like Christ. And God has a place for you to plug into ministry. God made you, designed you, and shaped you for ministry. You were remarkably and wonderfully made. Stop looking around and saying, God, I just wish I was somebody else. Instead, look to God and say, God, who did you make me to be? Start telling God, you know, God, my personality is a little unique, and not everybody gets it. But God, you made it. So, Father, help me to be the person you want me to be. Help me to work with the team. Help me to work with the committee. Help me to bring the best of my personality to a bad situation or a great situation. But God, you made me who I am. God gives everyone a unique personality. Get to know what yours is and then give it back to God for his service. And then one more basic truth the Bible teaches. God uses every unique personality. God uses every unique personality. There is not one among us that God says, you know what, your personality is not going to work in this ministry. Your personality is not going to work in this church. You are sitting here because God brought you here. If you have already signed on as a member of the First Baptist Church of Shiloh, you need to know God brought you here. God brought you with all your unique shape and all your problems and issues and all your greatness and glory. God brought you here to serve him, including with your personality. And that personality can mesh and ministry with others, different or others like you. We see this throughout the Bible. It's an extraordinary production, dramatization of characters with different personalities coming together. We see it most in the fact that God inspired people to write his word. His inerrant word of God is written by people, people with personalities. And those personalities often shine through in the very word of God, in their choice of words and their narration of situations and the way they write to one another. We see it in scenes and history in Scripture. We see, for example, Barnabas and Paul. Barnabas, the people person, his name means son of encouragement. I'm sure his dad's real name was not encouragement. Barnabas' real name was Joseph, but he got to be known as Barnabas, son of encouragement. Talk about a people person. I just like people. And he'd be looking for the ones that needed encouragement. That's what he did. Then he met Paul. Paul was a lion. Paul was a take no prisoners, get the job done, next mission up ahead, whatever God wants. Stick with me, keep up, because I'm moving. That was the Apostle Paul. It came time for them to journey off on their second missionary journey. Well, on the first one, they took with them a young man named John Mark. And John Mark, for whatever reason, abandoned the mission about midway through. Got cold feet, homesick, whatever. But he went home. Missionary adventure number two comes up, and you know who Barnabas wants to take along? Yeah. Barnabas says, can I take John Mark? Paul says, no. I'm not taking John Mark. He proved he couldn't handle it. Come on. We got to move. Get stuff done. Forge ahead. This is the vision. This is the kingdom. This is the problem. This is what we got to get done. Barnabas said, well, I'll tell you what. Let me take John Mark with me. You take Silas with you, and we get more done anyway. We plant more churches, God's kingdom grows, and off we go. Isn't it amazing how God can even use clashing personalities? God knows us that well, and if we are all submissive to Him, if what we want is His best, then God will use all of us. The problem comes in when we get selfish, when we decide, no, I want what I want, but if we all want what God wants, things get done. Still have your Bible open. Look with me at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. And find verse 38. If you've been a Christian a long time, you're aware of this story. It's about Jesus going to visit sisters who were friends of hers, Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke reports the story this way. He says, while they were traveling, that is Jesus and his apostles, while they were traveling, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister named Mary who also sat at the Lord's feet and was listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, and she came up and she asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to give me a hand. And the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is necessary, and Mary has made the right choice, and it will not be taken away from her. When we read that story, we understand that Jesus' response to Martha is what the story is about. And you've heard that story for years about don't be distracted by the busyness of life. There's whole books written about how to handle stress based on this passage. But what we often overlook is the clash of personalities. Two sisters with completely different personalities. You've got Mary, the younger sister, who's carefree and spontaneous and sees an opportunity to sit down at the feet of Jesus and enjoy some time with him, so she abandons the tasks. And then you've got Martha, who's task-oriented, who makes lists. She probably has colored sticky notes. She's got to get everything done. That's the way she wants to minister to Jesus. Two different personality types in the same family. Now, for some reason, God sometimes brings personality types like that together in a marriage. Isn't that fun? You've got one chatty and talkative, one task-oriented to get things done. And by God's grace, you're married for 60 or 70 years. One's been talking the whole time, and the other one's been getting everything done. Jesus tells Martha, notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say there's anything wrong with the personalities of the two. That's not what he says. He doesn't say there's anything wrong with Martha wanting to get the meal ready. What he says is, let's put first things first. Because whatever personality type you are, what matters most is that you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. That's how God brings us together. When we always understand what matters most is the grace of God in Jesus Christ, that we sit at the feet of Jesus, then we take care of business. That we listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we pay attention to what He wants to tell us. That's how we learn to work together. And that's how God made us. God made us wonderfully, remarkably, varied personalities, so He could bring us together with our various shapes and we could be the body of Christ. We have visited often 1 Corinthians 12 in this message series. Just one verse from there this morning. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20, Paul says, now there are many parts, yet one body. There are many parts, yet one body. He could just as easily say there are many personalities sitting here this morning, but we are all one body in Christ when we remember that's how God made us. God brought us here to work together. Sometimes those personalities might clash. If they do, the only reason we'll have a problem is if we forgot to sit at the feet of Jesus to begin with. The only reason we'll have a problem is if we forgot this is not about us. It's not about getting our way. It's not about going a particular, it's about Jesus and following Christ. We're disciples of His first, and He brings us together in our unique shape. The mystery of personality can only be explained by a loving Creator who made us with our personalities. We have personality because we're people, but But we have unique personalities because we're people designed by Him. Think about it this way. When we were all growing up, we were one of the first things we learned in science as kids, probably in kindergarten, is that every snowflake is different. You remember learning that? Every snowflake is different. And you spent the whole winter, well, not in Brunswick County, but if you lived where there was snow, you spent the whole winter trying to check out snowflakes to see if they were really different. Every snowflake is different, as far as we know. But every snowflake is still snow. And snow has particular qualities that make it snow, that make it what it is. It's the essence of snow. And if you take those qualities out, it's not snow. And yet, by a remarkable work of God's creative ability, every one of those snowflakes is still designed a little bit differently. Personality kind of reflects that too. That every one of us is a little bit different, but every one of us is part of the body of Christ. And once the snow falls, oh, it's beautiful. I hope you've been somewhere or lived somewhere outside of Brunswick County where it really snows. I mean, it just once a year, it just really, because it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see it falling, to be out there and watch it blanket the world for just a few hours or a few days. When all those individual, particular, creative flakes come together, they can change the world. I'm not saying y'all are flakes. But you are different. And God bless us that we're so different. And yet when we come together as the people of God, we can change the world. Maybe this morning is the day you say, God, I realize today I've surrendered to you in ways that I want to, but God, I need to give you everything, including my personality. God, you made me who I am, and I want to serve you. I don't want to look and say, I wish I was him, I wish I was her. God, I want to serve you because you made me who I am. Maybe today is the day you would say, God, I've never really said, yes, I'll serve you, whatever you ask, but God, I'll surrender to you. I'll step up, God, and be a part of the body of Christ. And wherever you want me to serve, whatever you want me to do, my answer is, here I am. Send me. Because God, that's the only answer I can give. That could be also this morning, you're apart from the Lord, you've broken fellowship with Him. Maybe you need to come back to Christ today. It could be this morning that you sit here this morning and you know you've never trusted Christ as your Savior in the first place. And today is the day you need to be saved. Trust Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. He died on the cross for you. God raised Him from the grave. He can change your life. He and only He can change your life because He made you. He created you. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to serve with the people of God. What a joy it is, God, to see what you can do through us, in us, with us, Father, when we submit to you to serve you. And what a joy it is, God, to look upon so many personalities and know, Father, you've created each one of us, God. You have made us who we are, designed us just like we are, and you want to use us just as we are. Father, I pray for that one in here who needs to come to Christ today, to trust Jesus Christ, to be forgiven of sin, to have a home in heaven. God, may that person trust Christ today. I pray for believers in here, Father, who need to come back to you. Our fellowship is broken. There's sin in our lives, God. There's problems we're trying to deal with ourselves. God, how I pray that we would come back to you. I pray for those of us in this room who need to once and for all say, Father, I will serve you. Here I am. Send me, God. I will serve you whatever you want, God. I want to serve you. So, Father, bless this time as we respond to you today. And I pray, God, we would yield our will to you. We would bow our hearts to you today, God. We would surrender all to Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen.